Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We're live, ladies and gentlemen, for the next 45 minutes. John Ronson joins us. Coming up, I'm going to play you a little sneak peek of Jesse Ventura's new television show coming up in December and January. John Ronson is a writer and documentary filmmaker. His books, Them, Adventures with Extremists, I'm in that one, and The Men Who Stare at Goats were international bestsellers. The Men Who Stare at Goats have been turned into major motion pictures starring George Clooney, Ewan McGregor, Kevin Spacey, Jeff Bridges. He also is the author of two collections, Out of the Ordinary, True Tales and Everyday Craziness, and What I Do, More True Tales of Everyday Crazies. He's written the popular Human Zoo and Out of the Ordinary columns for The Guardian, where he still contributes features. He currently writes and presents to Sony-nominated BBC Radio 4 series John Ronson On, and he also produced Secret Rulers of the World, a multi-award-winning documentary, five-part documentary that I'm also in. And his most recent documentaries are Revered Death, Channel 4, Citizen Kubrick, and Robbie Williams and John Ronson, Journey to the Other Side, Radio 4. In the U.S., he is the contributor to Public Radio International's This American Life, johnronson.com. John Ronson joining us via Skype for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. It's good to have you here, John.
Hey, Alex. It's good to hear from you again.
Where are you joining us from?
I am joining you from London. I'm a bit trepidatious about this interview because I'm always worried about where it's going to go. But it's great to hear from you again. You know, we had this amazing adventure. When was it? Back in the year 2000s, where we snuck into Bohemian Grove together.
Yes. And then I wasn't supposed to talk about how you later went in there for liability purposes. And then people asked me later, well, why is John Ronson saying he also snuck in? So they thought that, I guess that's a journalistic issue of you guys snuck in later that day, that evening after I went in, and then I wasn't supposed to talk about that. And then later you did talk about that, and that became quite a big question out there for people.
Yeah, no, I was worried at the time, speaking completely frankly, that if I admitted that I snuck in and trespassed, we might have trouble getting our documentary on television, yeah, because of the way that we, you know, went about gathering the material. So I just kind of kept quiet about it. But then when my book came out, when Them came out, I did admit going in. But of course, to this day, there's loads of people who think that I didn't go into Bohemian Grove and I faked the whole thing, you know, including people on Prison Planet, you know, on the forum and so on.
Well, don't feel bad, John, because people think A, didn't sneak in, or B, that they let us in. But no, we did indeed. I separately snuck in, then later that day, you reportedly snuck in there. And I did see you about 100 yards away and wave at you.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, we walked past each other when we were surrounded by all that kind of strange, devilly iconography and all those kind of, you know, owl sculptures. And you know, we walked past each other basically, you know, just keep walking. It was a mad night. I still look back on that as being one of probably the strangest nights of my life and one of the most enjoyable.
Well, I think one of the big issues here is folks can't believe that I was able to sneak in and shoot that footage that you use in your television program, because so many other people got caught, got busted. But every time you read about a CBS News reporter or a People Magazine reporter or Vanity Fair, they walk up to people and start asking reporter questions. What do they think's going to happen?
There is a weirdness, though, to us getting in, because we both knew that in the days preceding our arrival, there were kind of FBI guys all over the local town and so on. But by the time we arrived, they'd all cleaned out. And we did. We just walked in very easily. I walked up the drive, giving the security guards a kind of I rule the world wave, you know, wearing preppy clothes. And you went in through the undergrowth. But we both got in incredibly easily. My guess is that these days, you know, since your documentary and my book and documentary, it's going to be a lot harder to get into Bohemian Grove. But, you know, maybe we spoiled the party for any other.
I believe we have. In fact, they've reported that the security is out the wazoo now. John Ronson, stay with us. This is Alex Jones with five good reasons you should consider buying a solar power generator. Number one, new climate legislation could easily double or triple your electric bill. Number two, our new energy czar wants to control how much power your electric company allows you to have. It's true. Total government control of electricity in the name of smart grid technology is coming. Number three, in some areas of the country, the power grid is dangerously overloaded. And now, new socialist legislation is only compounding the problem. Number four, dangerous weather is always a threat to local grids. Every year, thousands of families lose their power from weather-related outages. Number five, a solar power generator provides powerful backup insurance and peace of mind. Folks, I really believe in the solar power generators offered by Solutions from Science, one of my oldest sponsors. You can get more information at www.mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com. Remember, the government doesn't own the sun, so go to mysolarbackup.com or call 1-877-327-0365. Hundreds of nations have fallen to tyranny in the last century alone. This is our last chance to not relive history.
As we're finishing off this agenda, they'll be pulling the rug from underneath Americans at home.
They have tremendous influence on our president and Congress, and they really are calling the shots.
I think it's incumbent upon all of us as American citizens to pay attention.
Oh, the Republic identifies the enemies of our nation, the criminal offshore cartel, hell-bent on destroying sovereignty and on its ashes constructing world government.
Tim Geithner, Bernanke, they're arsonists. They're asking for more matches. And the Congress is saying, who do we make the check out to?
Today seems like nobody does care. And right now in Washington, D.C., we have seen a fall of the Republic.
Get your copy of Fall of the Republic on DVD at InfoWars.com or watch it online right now in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Hi, it's MZ, wondering how many of us Alex Jones fans intend to take the swine flu vaccine. I'm not, don't trust it, but then I don't want to get the disease either. So I use PureWorks, a unique disinfectant that comes in foam or spray form. PureWorks is not your typical hand disinfectant. There is no alcohol to dry your skin, and it lasts for hours, not minutes. Use PureWorks to protect yourself from disease and infection. You can find out all about it and order it online at nogerms.info. That's nogerms.info. Don't introduce potentially dangerous chemicals or toxins into your body to keep you well when they could actually cause the sickness you want to avoid. Don't pick your nose, don't shake hands, and don't handle banisters, rails, and doorknobs. Do try PureWorks, available online at wholesale pricing to Alex Jones listeners. Go to nogerms.info. That's nogerms.info. Be well and stay well. Best MZ.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
John Ronson is our guest, documentary filmmaker, worldwide best-selling author. Both of his best-selling books got optioned to make films. One of them, Men Who Stare at Goats, is now in theaters. One of the number one movies out there in the world, in the top three. The second book, the first in the series, Them, that I'm a big part of, got optioned to be turned into a movie, and that's probably still going to happen. We will talk to John Ronson about that before he leaves us. But for stations that just joined us on the radio, he's also simulcasting at PrisonPlanet.tv. For the viewers joining us from London, during the break we were talking about Bohemian Grove. He's getting interviewed for Jesse Ventura's TV show, one of the last interviews they're doing on Skull and Bones, on Bohemian Grove, on Bilderberg, because he has a differing view than I do, but not that big of a view change.
The thing we really agree on is, you know, I thought what I saw was kind of stupid, and you thought what we saw inside Bohemian Grove was, you know, proof of Satanism and so on, and I didn't. But what we agree on is that the participants in the ritual at Bohemian Grove seem to take it really seriously, and that's a really interesting question.
Yes, you were there in the crowd as they were engaging in the mock human sacrifice, the effigy of a boy. And, I mean, were the old men not grinding their teeth and making sexual pleasure noises? Were they not in a raptured state?
Well, they did seem to. I don't know if I'd use those exact words. I didn't think kind of sexual pleasure or so on. But they did seem to be, like, really into it, you know, like, really intense about it. And you noticed that, and I noticed that. And it was strange that I came away thinking, you know, frankly, that I was the most sane person in the entire Redwood Forest. Because I didn't agree with you and Mike's interpretation of the ceremony. But also I could see that, you know, the participants were taking it just as seriously as you were. And I did find that very odd. And in fact, that was the kind of germ of the idea, you know, this idea of kind of bubbles of craziness at the House of Power that eventually led on to me writing The Menesteric Goats. You know, really The Menesteric Goats was kind of began to form in my mind that night when we were at Bohemian Grove.
Well, I mean, from meeting you out at Waco more than 10 years ago to today, I've seen you in BBC and CNN interviews that you've changed your views, because 10 years ago you laughed, there was no global government, there was no secret room, there wasn't a plan. And then 3 or 4 years later, I'd see you say, no, there really is a Bilderberg group, they really do want a world government, but you can differ on what their plans are or argue about, are they really in control? Now they're openly announcing a global carbon tax, a world government, we're going to pay our taxes to a private bank of the world. They have the Framework Convention on Climate Change. They're saying Al Gore is a prophet and that his new movie is about how it's a global religion of the earth. And, I mean, John, a lot has changed. What's your view now on the New World Order? Does it still not exist?
Well, I mean, what you're saying now about kind of what stuff might have leaked out of, you know, recent Bilderberg meetings, I don't know. I've not read the minutes of the last few years' meetings, so I can't comment on that. But the reason why I said that I felt that, you know, their agenda was to an extent a creation of world government is because that's what one of the founding members of the Bilderberg Group said to me on the record. It was Dennis Healy, Lord Healy, who was one of the, you know, the first people to set up Bilderberg. And he said to say that we were striving for a world government is exaggerated, but not wholly unfair. Those are his actual words. He said, because basically, you know, Bilderberg was set up post-Second World War, and they saw that, you know, that the last thing the world needed was a politician who was too much of an ideologue. You know, they didn't want any more Hitlers, so they kind of figured a world government where politics wasn't really in the hands of politicians. It was much more about the flow of capital. You know, that seemed to have been the reason why Bilderberg as a kind of centrist globalist thing was set up. So yeah, so that there we are not in disagreement either.
But John, the mainstream media still out of one side of their mouth says there's no such thing as a world government. And then out of the other side of their mouth, they say, yes, it's a great thing, and it's going to be non-democratic and authoritarian because we, the wise men, know best, i.e. Financial Times of London headline, and now for world government. I mean, here is the New York Times 2 weeks ago, Ban Ki-moon, and it says Ban Ki-moon, again, is the author of this, and he went on to say in the article that global government is what we need. He goes on in the article to say one world government is what we need and that carbon taxes will be the funding mechanism for this. I mean, this is authoritarian. This is unelected. This system is not democratic. And you find out the very same wise men that created Hitler and created Mussolini are the very wise men that created Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein, or their sons did.
Well, my theory about Bilderberg is that their vision back in the early 1950s, post the Second World War, was in their minds quite idealistic. They thought that a safer way of running the world, having just lived through Mussolini and Hitler, a safer way would be to de-ideologue the politicians and to put power in the hands of business. Because businessmen only care about the flow of money. They don't care about politics and ideologies. But of course, you know, what the last 50 years has taught us is that CEOs can be just as corrupt as politicians and frequently are. So, you know, that's my view on Bilderberg, is that it was an idealistic vision, which, like all idealistic visions, went wrong.
Well, have you read where it's been declassified now that Hitler was on MI5 payroll and so was Mussolini?
I don't know anything about that. I can't comment on that because I know nothing about it. I'd be interested in reading the link.
Yeah, that's London Guardian, which you write for, Times of London. I mean, we already knew this from Milner Group declassified documents. Well, I mean, you know about Edward VIII being a Nazi, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's no question that a whole load of the, you know, ruling gentry of Britain and during the rise of the Nazi Party, you know, loved the Nazis. I mean, they were constantly inviting the Nazis over the British ruling classes and, you know, putting them up for tea. And, you know, there's a wonderful novel about that called The Remains of the Day. So, you know, there's no question that that was going on. You know, the Mitfords. I can't remember which Mitford was it.
Well, what happened is the British said, you go ahead and attack, we're going to back you. And then they flip-flopped at the end. And that's why the deputy Fuhrer flew over Rudolf Hess and got captured. The issue is, John, it's all been declassified now, and it was all staged. Hitler was set up. So this corporate group of bankers that set up Bilderberg, Prince Bernhard the Nazi and all the rest of them, this is all a big giant joke. I mean, you know about Prince Philip and all his calls for eugenics. I mean, you've certainly heard those statements. I mean, have you read the White House science czar's own publication, Eco-Science, calling for putting poison in the water to sterilize us? Have you seen this, John?
I know nothing about that. But and also, you know, I firmly believe that, you know, we know that some of the founders of the Bilderberg Group, you know, did have Nazi ties. I think it was
Prince Bernhard.
Was it Joseph Ressinger as well, or just
yes?
But my personal view, and you know, this is the kind of non-conspiratorial view, is that that's not an important fact. And you know, the important fact was that these were people who were kind of idealistic globalists. I mean,
Bilderberg has released 1954 documents from their founding, after all these years saying they didn't exist, where they said, we're going to create a European Union, we're going to create a global government. I mean, you know, this whole time they've been lying about it, and then now at the final moment, they spring it on the public.
Well, that's interesting. That would be interesting to read, definitely. I mean, that doesn't surprise me, the idea that, you know, that a single currency and a European Union was kind of high on Bilderberg's agenda back in the 50s. That doesn't surprise me at all.
All right, well, instead of Alex Jones barking questions at John Ronson at johnronson.com, let's start getting into the men who stare at goats. That was the sequel to them, I guess. International bestseller, back in paperback all over the world right now. The movie is out, doing very well. What was the research you did on the book, A, and how accurate to the book is the film?
Right, okay. Well, I mean, as I said, I think the book really began, even though I didn't realize it, that night when you and I were together in Bohemian Grove, because it did really, you know, you and I couldn't have interpreted, you know, the ritual differently that we saw at Bohemian Grove. We had a completely different view. But the one thing we agreed on was that the participants, these men of wealth and power, seemed to be, like, really into it. And I thought to myself, you know, my God, you know, this is not how I would spend my summer vacation, having a mock human sacrifice in the forests of Northern California. It seemed like a very weird thing. And so I thought, well, you know, what other weirdness, what other irrationality can be found in the corridors of power? So the first thing I did was with my producer, John Sargent, was kind of look into remote viewing. There was something kind of tangible that was out there a little bit. Post 9/11, I met Yuri Geller. You know, Yuri Geller with spoon bending and so on. And he'd always claimed to have been a secret psychic spy working for the CIA. And kind of nobody believed him because they sort of figured that the CIA wouldn't do that. So post 9/11, they thought the CIA was sensible. You know, we may be nuts, but the CIA is surely sensible. So post 9/11, I met Yuri Geller, and he said to me, he was very mysterious, and finally he took off his dark glasses and he said to me, if you repeat what I'm about to tell you, I will deny it. And I said, okay. And he said, I have been reactivated. And I said, by who? He said, I'm not going to tell you. And he said, okay, I will tell you just one thing. The man who reactivated me is called Ron. So I went off on a journey to try and find Ron. And I never found Ron, although I've got suspicion as to who he probably was. But on the way to finding Ron, tell me how long I can go on, because this is a story that I can go on for hours.
No, I want to hear it. John Ronson, when we come back. I mean, obviously, you are the reporter in the big movie out in theaters right now. Obi-Wan Kenobi plays you.
I know. How about that? As you can probably, as the people watching the Skype can probably tell, it's very appropriate because when I look Mr. Liao, there is a Ewan McGregorness to me.
You look just like him.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or 2-sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
Hundreds of nations have fallen to tyranny in the last century alone. This is our last chance to not relive history.
As we're finishing off this agenda, they'll be pulling the rug from underneath Americans at home.
They have tremendous influence on our president and Congress, and they really are calling the shots.
I think it's incumbent upon all of us as American citizens to pay attention.
All of the Republic identifies the enemies of our nation, the criminal offshore cartel, hell-bent on destroying sovereignty and on its ashes constructing world government.
Tim Geithner, Bernanke, they're arsonists. They're asking for more matches. And the Congress is saying, who do we make the check out to?
Today seems like nobody does care. And right now in Washington, D.C., we have seen a fall of the Republic.
Get your copy of Fall of the Republic on DVD at InfoWars.com or watch it online right now in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
John Ronson joining us from London. Coming out of the next break, I'm going to play the trailer for The Men Who Stare at Goats. So you were getting into the story, which is shown in the movie, of where you're meeting with the former Black Ops commander. And he's saying, so you were a psychic soldier. And he says, yes, Jedi warriors. Please continue, John Ronson.
Yeah, well, basically, what we discovered through our research, that the remote viewers, which I'm sure loads of your listeners know about, the team of psychic spies, were really just a tip of an iceberg And the iceberg was mainly this thing called remote influencing. And I first got to hear about this when I was in Hawaii interviewing a man called Glenn Wheaton, who said he was part of a secret unit called Project Jedi. And I said, what's Project Jedi? And he said, well, it's a series of levels. He said, level one, teaching the soldier to eat only nuts and grains for a month. And I said, okay, what was level two? He said, level two was invisibility. And I said, well, that's quite the leap from level one. And I said, well, actual invisibility? And he said, well, yes. But after a while, we adapted it to just trying to find a way of not being seen. And I said, like camouflage? And he went, no. And I said, what was level three? And he said, level three was intuition. You come to a fork in the road, you go left, you go right, you go right. And I said, what was level four? And he said, level four was stopping the heart of a goat just by wanting the goat's heart to stop. So really, it was this one interview with Glenn Wheaton that opened up this whole secret world of military intelligence craziness, where they really did have rooms full of goats, and they brought in these martial arts guys to try and kill the goats just by staring at them. And, you know, they say that that from time to time a goat fell over, but, you know, I think probably because it was suffering from some sort of pre-existing medical complaint, or maybe it was just kind of bored of being stared at for, you know, days on end by martial arts gurus from Ohio. And then what the book Menacer Goats goes on to do is really look at how some of these ideas didn't really die out, but mutated and came alive again in the form of different types of interrogation techniques at Guantanamo and Abu Ghraib and so on. The movie's lighter and doesn't go into these darker areas. It's more comic.
Well, John, I want to continue from there. We're talking to John Ronson, johnronson.com. He's the author of Men Who Stare at Goats and Them. But expanding on that, John, you talk about tip of the iceberg. I've been studying globalist, and if you went deeper down the rat hole, deeper down the rabbit hole, you would find that the reason those old men were getting so upset or focused on the mock human sacrifice that you thought was silly was because they understand it was all symbolized and was symbols of something much, much deeper, and that all of this system is just simply the surface of something. Look at Skull and Bones, that video ABC News got with them screaming and yelling and worshiping Satan and, you know, practice mock murders of young girls. Look at
the Ron Rosenbaum video, right? That was shot like a cross.
Yes.
You know, right, yeah.
But I mean, that's my point, John, is that they take it serious because the real ritual was not the image of the boy being burned. It was whatever happened behind those black curtains across the water. That's when the old men really got upset and really started growling and breathing heavily next to me. And it wasn't one or two or three or four. The whole group around me were doing this. Mike Hansen, who snuck in with me, witnessed it. And so, I mean, I'm telling you, these people are out of their minds. They're crazy. And so you or I, normal people, look at this and it looks ridiculous. This is not ridiculous to them.
Well, again, this is where I kind of agree and disagree with you, because where I disagree with you, because I'm not, you know, conspiratorial minded, is that I believe that what we saw at Bohemian Grove was all that was going on that night. I don't believe there was anything going on behind the curtains. However, where I do agree with you is that the people who go to Skull and Bones and go to Bohemian Grove do seem to be into this idea of ritual and symbolism. I agree with you there. And so you have to ask yourselves, well, why? And one person actually who was involved with Skull and Bones said to me that the woman said that her interpretation of their kind of being into ritual was that it kind of gives you a sort of mandate, you know, sort of gives you a kind of, sort of sense of superiority and a mandate to put yourself in a position of power. And that's why these Ivy League universities, you know, do all this kind of stupid, crazy stuff, and why these ideas live on in when they get into the business world in places like Bohemian Grove. But I don't believe at all that what we saw was any kind of actual human sacrifice. It was just a papier-mâché effigy.
Well, I'm not saying I believe an actual human sacrifice was going on. I'm saying more was happening than meets the eye. And think about your statement. I don't believe anything was happening behind the curtain. You know, that's kind of a philosophical worldview on the planet itself. I believe there is something going on behind the curtain. And 9 times out of 10, when we pull the curtain back, the real shows going on behind the curtain, John Ronson. I mean, look at how you wrote Ministeric Goats. Just all this insane stuff going on.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
Hundreds of nations have fallen to tyranny in the last century alone. This is our last chance to not relive history.
As we're finishing off this agenda, they'll be pulling the rug from underneath Americans at home.
They have tremendous influence on our president and Congress, and they really are calling the shots.
I think it's incumbent upon all of us as American citizens to pay attention.
All of the Republic identifies the enemies of our nation, the criminal offshore cartel, hell-bent on destroying sovereignty and on its ashes constructing world government.
Tim Geithner, Bernanke, they're arsonists. They're asking for more matches. And the Congress is saying, who do we make the check out to?
Today seems like nobody does care. And right now in Washington, D.C., we have seen a fall of the Republic.
Get your copy of Fall of the Republic on DVD at InfoWars.com or watch it online right now in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Hi, this is Steve Shank. Alex and I have talked about food security for your family for years. Now we're into the holiday season, the happy time of year when friends and family come together, and food is always the expression of our shared love and caring. This year, the eFoods Holiday Special Food Supply has the two things that you've asked for most. Easy-to-make prepared meals that taste great, and a smaller-than-one-year supply for greater affordability. I don't have to tell you that the troubled times and loss of freedoms that we only anticipated in 2008 have arrived in our lives with a vengeance. This holiday special is designed to bring peace and security to you and yours, and comes with a free 7-day responder for you to give to someone less fortunate. Call 800-409-5633 or on the web efoodsdirect.com. That's 800-409-5633. We here at eFoods Direct wish you peace, security, and plenty this holiday season.
My name is Bob Wilton. I'm a journalist. I've been investigating a story about a classified government program. So what you're saying is that you were a psychic spy?
A Jedi warrior.
I'd heard that the U.S. government was training psychic soldiers and that Lynn Cassidy was the best of the best.
I've been reactivated. I'm on a mission.
I could come. Lynn's story was unbelievable, crazy, and completely true.
You have to dream a new America that no longer has an exploitative view of everyone.
Will be a psychic weapon. Feel it, yeah!
You must create warrior monks who can pass through walls and see into the future.
Congratulations, Scotty. Sorry it doesn't work out between you two.
What are you doing?
Cloud bursting. Keeps me in shape. And it's gone.
Jeez, you had like the whole desert to drive inland.
Please, please! Thank you for picking us up.
How are we going to stop them?
They've got guns. We're Jedi. We don't fight with guns. We fight with our minds.
Holy.
Ah!
looking for a story, and my friend Lynn brought me an adventure.
It's okay, we're Americans. We're here to help you.
What happened?
I think I just ran him over.
Oh, crap.
The man who... Colonel Django used funds from the project's black budget to procure prostitutes.
That's a lie.
And to get drugs for himself and his men.
That... Well, the hooker thing is definitely a lie.
All right, the Men Who Stare at Goats. Came out November 6th, doing quite well in movie theaters around the country. And John Ronson's the big star. He's the big reporter interviewing these guys. Did you actually go to the Middle East and run over people? I mean, did all of that happen?
No, that part didn't happen. Pretty much everything else happened. Peter Storm, who wrote the screenplay, kind of added a sort of buddy movie element to it. But I didn't really kind of, you know, I didn't learn and grow much at all. I was always a kind of bit of a cynic when it came to the existence of these paranormal powers. But Peter made the Ewan McGregor character have kind of more adventures than I had in the Middle East. But everything else is in the movie.
Well, I get the idea. I meant to go see the movie this weekend when you agreed to do the interview, but I just didn't get around to it. I do intend to go see it. But I get the idea from the trailers and some of the sneak peeks I've watched online and also have read the book that the film makes fun of a lot of it but also implies there could be something there, like he is cloud bursting. He is breaking up the clouds with his mind. There's some delusionals here in Austin that go out on hilltops and think they're doing the same thing. I mean, does the film imply that George Clooney really does kill this goat, or...?
It doesn't really. It kind of toys with us, and I think that's something that's really nice about the film. You know, when you read my book, when you read The Men Who Stare at Goats, you know that my view is that none of this stuff worked at all. But Peter kind of toys with the possibility that it works. But I think in the end, you kind of think that the George Clooney character is a kind of bit of a Buzz Lightyear, as a radio DJ over here called Simon Mayo described him the other day. You know, he thinks he has all these powers, but he doesn't. So when you see in flashback the goat being stared at and then falling over, you don't believe that necessarily actually happened. You just believe that he believes that it happened. So I think by and large, even though Grant Heseloff, the director of the film, is more inclined to believe in the paranormal than I am, you kind of come away thinking that it's probably not true.
But everybody's had dreams that come true or had premonitions of family dying or being hurt, or maybe everybody I know has. Mr. Ronson, are you saying you don't believe that there's any of this going on in the world, anything that we don't understand that's happening?
If I say, yeah, I don't believe that at all, I'm going to come over like the world's worst magic-sucking curmudgeon. But that's sort of what I feel. You know, I wish it weren't true. I would love there to be these other levels that we could all, you know, go to, you know, especially when we die. But I'm just not sure of it, Alex.
Magic-sucking curmudgeon.
That's me. That's my middle name.
Curmudgeon. Hey, well, you ran curmudgeon. Into David Icke.
Yeah. I saw him in the toilet queue at Heathrow Airport last week. And, you know, like you, you know, neither you nor David Icke particularly liked my book then because it was anti-conspiratorial. But nonetheless, it was just delightful to see David Icke, and we practically gave each other a big hug. And I sort of think, well, in the end, you know, we may kind of utterly disagree, but we had a kind of adventure together, just like I did with you at Bohemian Grove. And in the end, as we kind of turn into old men, that's kind of the stuff that matters, right?
I guess we are getting older.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, so the fact that, you know, David Icke was very happy to see me and I was happy to see him, and we kind of buried any political differences and, you know, differences in the outlook and the way the world works, and it was just,
but John,
it was just really nice.
John, am I wrong in saying, though, you have, on, say, a scale of 1 to 10, we're 10, you're a 0 when it comes to believing conspiracy theories, that you've gone from like a 1 over to a 6 or 7? I mean, from what I've seen of you on television... Or maybe that's the role you play when you're on mainstream TV, because they're so dried out and stale that you look like a conspiracy theorist. But when I see you on television, you seem to be admitting there's a world government forming and that there is some cover-ups and corruption. I mean, you don't discount at all.
Well, there's nothing I've said, for instance, in the interview to you today that I, you know, regret. I mean, I know that that was Bilderberg's agenda because one of the founders of the Bilderberg Group said it to me, that their original agenda was some form of world government or certainly a kind of single community throughout the world. And I agree with you, I completely disagree with you that the Bohemian Grove ritual proved that there was any kind of weird Satanism or anything kind of really dark and crazy going on. But, you know, I agree that there was a weirdness there, that they were really, really into it in a way that, you know, I thought it was just nuts. And, you know, what I really like about my book, The Menestrel Goats, is that it's sort of, I think both sides get something out of it. You know, the skeptics like me get something out of it because it just shows how buffoonish and absurd human behavior can be, which is sort of an anti-conspiratorial thought, right? Because conspiracy theorists need to believe that people are so brilliant and so Machiavellian that they can plot these amazing conspiracies. But I think what the Menestrel Goats says is that no, people are just nuts trying to walk into walls and do all this kind of stuff. However, conspiracy theorists like you, I'm also glad to say, like the Menestrel Goats, because it does show that there's stuff going on, as you said, behind the curtain.
But just the term conspiracy theorist is been produced and is employed to automatically say this person can't prove what they're talking about. I was called a conspiracy theorist 10 years ago by several newspapers for saying the Gulf of Tonkin was staged to get us into Vietnam. It's now declassified. It's now been declassified that the United States government created Al-Qaeda and the Taliban. You can call me a conspiracy theorist. I said the carbon tax would be used to set up a world government and to fund it, and then it would come after a controlled economic collapse. That's now mainstream news. So I don't get into chupacabras and aliens and dimensional gates and things I can't prove. But then I get mixed in with the people that do cover things they can't prove. But, you know, there's other conspiracy theorists that get hailed as our saviors. Take the cover of Newsweek, the thinking man's thinking man, Al Gore's new plan for the planet. A eco-prophet gets real. And it goes into saying he's a prophet and his new film is about how it's a religion. Look, I happen to know there's not a consensus on man-made global warming. I happen to know the majority of scientists say it's a fraud. I happen to know carbon dioxide isn't a toxic waste. And then ice core samples show that the Earth had much higher levels of carbon dioxide 200,000 years ago. I happen to know that until 4 years ago, the ice caps of Mars were getting smaller. They're now getting bigger because the sun just cooled off into one of the most dormant cycles ever recorded in 300 years. So I'm not the conspiracy theorist because I track what NASA says and what climatologists says and common sense. When Al Gore points a camera at a polar bear and says polar bears can't swim, they're dying, when they're the greatest land swimmer on Earth and hunt from the ice floes, I know it's a lie. When they say my SUV is melting ice caps on Mars and on the moons of Saturn and Jupiter, I know it's a load of crap. Not just because I empirically know with the evidence, Al Gore and his people have written prospectuses up how this is all just a big business to hijack control the entire planet, John Ronson.
Well, I really can't get me to refute all of that in the space of about 30 seconds, Alex.
No, go ahead. You have the floor.
Way too much. No, I'm not going to. But can I ask you a completely different question?
Can polar bears swim?
I have a real problem with the 9/11 truth thing. And one of
are you? Wait. Is that against your religion? In your religion, or if you're a fake greenie, do you believe that that polar bears can swim? Is the prophet wrong? Are we going to have riots? Hold on. Are we going to have riots in Los Angeles, San Francisco, and London if I was to paint a picture of a bomb on his head? There is only one God, and his prophet is Al Gore.
Well, you know, Alex, I'm okay. Well, as always, your kind of oratory is stunning, and it's something that I find kind of quite amazing about you. But I can't answer.
Oh, come on.
And one of the reasons why I can't answer any of that stuff is because, frankly, Alex, I've been so busy with these other projects that I'm working on. I haven't really looked into the whole global warming denial movement, and I just don't feel in any way equipped to talk about it.
The denial movement. Okay, you brought up 9/11 truth. What's your problem with that?
I was just when you were saying all of that stuff, a little thought popped into my head, and I've always wanted to know your response to this, actually, so I ask you. It's built into the 9/11 truth belief is that you know, the media, the mainstream media, people like me, just, you know, wouldn't be interested. You know, we just don't want to reveal the truth of the matter because we're all sort of part of the, you know, part of the conspiracy. And I think if there was any evidence, if there was any clue that 9/11 was an inside job, every single journalist in the world would just be jumping on that story.
They'd
be dying to... Yeah, I'm absolutely certain of that, because it would be the world's greatest story, you know?
Okay, so you're asking me a question?
Yeah, I'm asking the question that, you know, it's impossible to rationally believe that every journalist in the world who would have any kind of,
okay,
you know...
Okay, that's a false statement. That's a false statement. The establishment selects and promotes journalists in the controlled left and controlled right paradigm that already fit into the worldview and buy in to the official story and believe there's never anything behind curtains. Okay.
Hold on.
There have been a lot of reporters that have gone public. They've been ridiculed or fired. Underwriting Laboratories, Kevin Ryan got fired, one of their chief engineers. There are policemen on tape saying, get back. They're going to bring down seven. The BBC reported Building 7 had fallen before it fell. Then they lied and said they didn't say it. Then they said, oh, it was an accident. Then they admitted Reuters had given them that, just like the news media printed that Lee Harvey Oswald had been captured before his name was even out in Dallas. They got the names wrong because of time zones in Asia. That's confirmed. When you look at NORAD standing down, when you look at the hijackers trained at U.S. military bases, it actually was in AP, Reuters, the San Jose Mercury News, that the head colonel over the head base said, look, I trained hijackers at my base. I don't know what happened, but these guys were working for the U.S. government. Okay? So I know a passport came out of one of the buildings unscathed and was found by the FBI in those hundreds of thousands of tons of wreckage. I mean, come on, John. Come on, John. I mean, Gulf of Tonkin was staged. It's not a conspiracy theory. Operation Northwoods is declassified where the government planned 9/11-style attacks, Bubba. All I'm saying is, look, six of the ten commissioners have said the entire thing was a fraud and a cover-up. Why isn't that in the news more, John? Granted, it's been in the Washington Post, but nothing ever happens.
Well, I sort of wish I hadn't brought up 9/11 again, because we've been, you know, the likes of me and the likes of you have been through this stuff a zillion times over the years. But I still don't think you answered my original question, which is that, you know, I you know, work within a world of the mainstream media, especially on the left, and I know that journalists on the left and journalists on the right would win a Pulitzer the size of a building if they could somehow provide
evidence. Okay, take Mombiot. Take that Mombiot guy at The Guardian, one of your colleagues. He writes articles a year ago saying, I'm a kook, there's no world government. And then he publishes and signs a letter from 200 top journalists calling for a one world government. I mean, they're intellectually bankrupt, John. I mean, wow. I mean, you can't have it both ways. World government's good. World government doesn't exist. I'm not saying you're doing that. I mean, you'll at least admit they're saying it. But if you were a good little globalist, you'd come on here and say, no, Alex doesn't exist, and then write a book about how great world government is.
Well, as I say, I mean, as I said earlier in the interview, my view about world government is that I think it was this kind of, you know, what they considered to be a kind of idealistic vision in the early 50s that sort of, you know, history shows has turned sour, because what nobody expected was that CEOs would you know, behave in a psychopathic and selfish irrational way.
Never that. Hey, listen, in the time we got left, johnronson.com, and I'm going to try to twist your arm for five more minutes after this break, just the whole hour, because this is too great having you on. I want you to be able to ask me some questions, too. But did you get to meet George Clooney or Ewing McGregor or any of these great actors?
Yeah, I did. I went onto the set and watched them film it for a few days in Puerto Rico. And then I went on the various premieres, you know, in Venice and Canada and London and Toronto. And so I spent some time with them.
Pretty nice guys, I hear.
Yeah, they all were.
Now, do they think it's ridiculous, or do any of them buy into this stuff?
Well, I think the only two people I know who were like in the kind of core of the movie who did believe in the paranormal stuff was Jeff Bridges. I mean, he's certainly a believer. And he got on very well with Jim Channon, who's the real guy who he plays in the movie. And Grant Heslov, the director, he says even though he has never seen any paranormal stuff happening, you know, he wants to believe that it can. And actually, I think a lot of the people who like the movie like it because it's got a sort of warm heart to it and it's got a humanity to it, whereas my book is a bit more sort of cynical.
All right, shifting gears quickly, in case you can't, because I know you got family, hold over another five to finish up. Tell me about them.
My son's right here with me. Oh, them, you mean about the movie?
Yes.
Yeah, well, it got optioned, you know, back in about 5 years ago, same time as the Menace at Goats got optioned. And, you know, as you know, nothing's really happened since. And you know that Jack Black was attached to be in it. But, you know, God knows, you know, Edgar, who's supposed to be directing this, is directing another movie at the moment. And I just hope that, you know, when he finishes his other movie, he turns his attention to the wonderful, you know, project that is them. But, you know, I can't force him as much as I'd like to.
Well, I think the fact that one of your books has already been made into a major movie and doing quite well at the box office, I would hope that would, because even though it's going to be a huge hit piece, I would like to know what they're writing. I mean, if my character's going to be in there and what great evil type of person I'm going to be in the movie them, if that does happen.
Well, I think if it does happen, and if there is a character in there that's kind of inspired by you, you will love it. I think it will be a completely lovely portrayal. Because, you know, movies, especially these kinds of movies, you know, they don't want to sort of just attack people, you know? I think you'd be delighted by your portrayal if it is.
Tell you what, John, stay there. I want to come back and talk about what you're doing in the future, then we'll let you go and get back to your family.
Fair and awkward.
Say no to government vaccinations.
Say no to toxic overload.
Say no to chemicals.
Say yes to liquid zeolite.
When you have fatigue, problems concentrating, muscle weakness, headaches, digestion, memory loss, influenza, or joint pain,
the solution may be as simple as detoxifying your body.
Chemical-free liquid zeolite helps the body heal itself so that it can become stronger to fight off viruses.
Why risk government vaccinations?
Liquid zeolite detoxifies the body by safely helping remove toxins and heavy metals, boosting energy levels, and promoting a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is tasteless, odorless, and so gentle you won't even know you're taking it.
Feel great again in as little as 3 days to 3 weeks.
Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but it's only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 1-800-976-0025. 1-800-976-0025. 100% natural, 100% safe,
100% amazing.
Try liquid zeolite today.
Hundreds of nations have fallen to tyranny in the last century alone. This is our last chance to not relive history.
As we're finishing off this agenda, they'll be pulling the rug from underneath Americans at home.
They have tremendous influence on our president and Congress. And they really are calling the shots.
I think it's incumbent upon all of us as American citizens to pay attention.
Fall of the Republic identifies the enemies of our nation. The criminal offshore cartel, hell-bent on destroying sovereignty and on its ashes constructing world government.
Tim Geithner, Bernanke, they're arsonists. They're asking for more matches. And the Congress is saying, who do we make the check out to?
Today seems like nobody does care. And right now in Washington, D.C., we have seen a Fall of the Republic.
Get your copy of Fall of the Republic on DVD at InfoWars.com or watch it online right now in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
For thousands of years, Native American healing has been practiced in North America. The Native Americans discovered an astonishing healing plant called Siaga. This pesticide-free, wild-crafted, all-natural wonder is hand-picked by a medicine man and effectively combined with other all-natural and sacred ingredients into a product called Defense. These key ingredients not only supply powerful immune system building blocks defending your body against natural and man-made viruses, but they also assist your body in healing itself from life-threatening conditions. HealForGood.com's defense capsules are Native American practitioners' remedy. Start now with a 100% money-back guarantee. Mention this ad and receive $5 off your first 3 months supply of defense capsules. Call 1-877-HEAL-4-GOOD. 1-877-HEAL, the number 4-GOOD. That's 877-432-5446. Or order online at HealForGood.com. That's HealForGood.com.
You know, it's probably been 5 years since I've been on the radio with John Ronson. I went on Coast to Coast AM with him once. We've got to have him back more often. So, John, your award-winning documentaries on TV, award-winning documentaries on radio, writing for The Guardian, writing for other big publications here in the U.S., two best-selling books. Everything you do hits the zeitgeist. What's coming up next for John Ronson?
Well, I'm writing another book, but I can't really talk about what it's about. I'm worried that if too much information gets disseminated, then it's going to be hard for me to get, you know, access to things and so on. But, you know, I'm writing a good new book. Can I just say, at risk of setting you off on a very, very long monologue, can I just read out a tweet that I just got from somebody?
Sure.
Okay, actually, Mombio was referring to a world council to solve environmental issues, not a one-world government.
Who said that?
A tweeter who follows me called Socialist Scully. Socialist Scully. I guess that his tweeting name probably will put you off.
Look, here's the deal. Bilderberg-controlled public... They're laughing in the control room. Look, I'm tired of the crap. There's a world government being set up, and the same reporters that attack me then write articles saying how great it is. And no, Mombiot said we need a world government to solve our problems. And then this liberal, who's a fake, twist it and goes, he's not for world government, he's for a loving world government. It's not loving. Did you see the article that was written in the Financial Times of London where it called for a tyrannical world government?
No, but God, that sounds like a very aggressive journalist.
Guys, pull it up. Pull it up. It's and now for world government, FT.com.
Well, the Financial Times says it's time we had a tyrannical world government. Sorry, my son is really laughing because that sounds like the most horrible article ever.
But he said, yes, it's been secret. Yes, we kept it secret from you. It's called And Now for World Government by Gideon Raikman. But he said it's got to be authoritarian for your own good. What's wrong with that? By the way, I think he's one of the editors there.
I am interested, by the way, in the kind of notion of authoritarianism. And that is something I'm looking at in the new book. You know, the idea that some people become kind of self-appointed, you know, mandated about how other people should and shouldn't behave.
Oh, Al Gore? Do you think Al Gore's saving us?
Well, I haven't been looking into Al Gore. I'm looking into a kind of different field of expertise. But, you know, but this is an area that interests me. It's interesting, Alex, the stuff that you're interested in, the stuff that I'm interested in is often very, very similar, but we just cover it from different worldviews.
Hey, here it is. It's Manifesto for a New World Order, George Monbiot. But then he writes articles saying none of it exists. He thinks his readers are stupid. He's like, it doesn't exist. Stand down. And he's like, forward forces, take them down. Pose as your liberal. It's ours. The world is ours. These scum don't know it. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Hey, here's Violet right here. You want to come say hi?
Oh, hey, Violet.
He was just talking about how much he likes you. Honey, remember John Ronson? Here, come and say hi on the mic. We won't put you on radio. He's gone in 1 minute. Come on in here. She doesn't want to be on TV. Just
okay.
Here,
Violet.
She doesn't have headphones.
Hi, John. How are you?
Hey, I'm all right. It's good to. It's really lovely to hear you. Okay. Well, I'm saying nice things. Alex, tell her that I'm saying nice things. Don't say I'm
saying
horrible
things. Nice things. Boy, she's good looking, John.
I know. She's a very. I've always. I mean, you know. Yeah. I'm not going to go down that road. No, Violet's a very lovely person. I've got very warm memories of our night together in Northern California. It was a great time. Even though we came away utterly different views of what we saw at Bohemian Grove, I do think of that as one of the.
Make sure you say that 150 times.
Violet's a wonderful person, and I'm glad that, you know, you guys, after all these years, you're still tight,
yep.
You're still there.
Hey, John, promise me that when your new book comes out, you'll come on here first.
I will be there, and thanks, Alex, for having me. I've really enjoyed the last hour. It's good talking to you again.
All right, buddy, good having you here. I'll say bye to you during the break.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.